It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
You are listening to the Coaching Ignited Show, where we bring you stories and insights from coaches, fitness professionals, and industry experts to help you expand your business and reach your goals. If you're a new listener, thanks for joining us. My name is Alex Povey. You can subscribe to the podcast on all your favorite apps, including Spotify and iTunes. The Coaching Ignited movement is on a mission to help coaches and personal trainers increase their sales and reach their full potential. If you wanted to find out more, please head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted to connect with us on social media, all the details can be found in the show notes. Now let's get into today's show.
Right, so this is the first ever podcast that we're doing, so episode one, and I've got Serge here with me today. So thanks for being here with me, Serge. You can probably pronounce your full name better than me, so if you want to tell people who you are and just give people a bit of a background about what you do and where you train.
So, hi, my name is Sergiusz Grzemny, which in abbreviation is Serge. That will be easier for everyone. Like, let's make life easier for people. I'm a personal trainer, let's say strength and conditioning coach at the gym in Manchester, Deansgate, M34EN, if you want to train with me, so come along.
nice plug.
What else? I've been in UK for 5 years. And I've been PTing for over 7 years, 2 years in Poland and 5 years here in UK.
Awesome. And then just to give people a bit of a backstory, Serge is actually my personal trainer. How long have we been training for now? Probably about 3 years, maybe?
3 years-ish.
Okay, yeah. About two to 3 years. And how would you class me as a client then? Am I a good client for you or?
No, you're shit. No, but on a serious note, you're very focused, you're down to earth, you follow basically the plan, you follow the nutrition. So this is what I personally want from a client, that he follows basically what he follows, what he's paying for. Okay, so he's paying me as a personal trainer to get him in shape, give him nutritional tips or diet, give him training plan, train him, etc. So basically we want to, you know, earn that money by making sure that the client is doing everything they can to get the results. So yeah. It's like
you probably didn't catch my Instagram today then, did you see what I posted? You probably won't be happy if you saw it.
Yeah,
and I was at Pret for anyone that didn't see it. So I got a naughty little pastry from Pret. So I don't think you'd be too pleased if you saw that.
Yeah, I wasn't. But okay, you know, it's like the most important is 80-20% rule. Mm-hmm. So 80% clean eating, 20% not clean, let's say, eating, cheat eating, let's say. So, you know, yeah. If it was in your 20%, that's fine.
Exactly. So let's dive more into the business, because, I mean, this is really what this podcast is for. I mean, there's probably a lot of other podcasts out there that talk about nutrition and training and all those different things. And all those things we're both interested in. But obviously for the listeners of this podcast, it's going to be more sort of business orientated. So it'd be good to know, like, how you got started in the industry and whether you always wanted to be a personal trainer and sort of what sort of led you down this path?
Well, to be honest, I was always a very chubby kid. So I was chubby, and basically around high school, which give or take 16, 17 years old, I decided to do something with this because I wasn't pleased with my, let's say, myself. I wasn't basically happy. So I started experimenting. I started buying different magazines back there in Poland, experimenting on myself, different diet approaches, cardio, no cardio, weights, no weights. And just basically through trial and error, I found what works for me. And I started training my friends in the gym. So that was like a beginning. We're talking about high school, basically. Unfortunately, I went to study English just because I always wanted to live in the UK or America or USA, whatever. So I went to study English, but I didn't stop training people and I didn't stop being passionate about, let's say, maybe not fitness because I hate these words, but all gym related. So nutrition, strength training, resistance training, etc. So then, after my studies, I started working as a personal trainer. Basically, I've been pestering a local fitness club, just basically coming there as a member and training members so persistently that they basically had no choice than hire me or throw me out. So they hired me, basically. Okay. I did all my qualifications, etc., etc. And basically, I left to England 5 years ago, and I'm currently here training people.
Awesome. So you kind of maybe went into it by default, by through having a passion for training and all those different things, and then it sort of led you down this path. Maybe it wasn't a complete conscious decision at the start.
Of course. It needs to be passion, because if we've got two coaches, coach number one, coach number two. Coach number one is very passionate, has not that much experience, but he's still learning, is very passionate, has no qualification at all. And we've got a coach number two, which is not very passionate, money-driven, and basically have loads of qualification. I would most likely hire the first one, because, look, you can always learn something, you can always get education, you can always pay for some courses, but without that inner drive, without that heart, and without the passion, you cannot survive in this business. I've been in this business for 7 years, I've seen people come and go with no passion, just to get money, because they think it's easy money. So I think that's the problem in nowadays, let's say society. It needs to be, as a personal trainer, you need to be driven. You need to love it. You cannot be saying, I like fitness, or I like to train. No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better and how can you be better, basically. Mm. And this is the feature that not many PTs nowadays have, and that basically is wrong.
Mm. Okay. So, like, when you came from Poland and you came here to the UK, you're starting from scratch, right? You're starting from zero. You're having to build a business from scratch.
From zero. From literally from zero. Right?
So what was like the biggest challenge for you when you just started that business here in the UK? Like, what were some of the obstacles that you faced?
I would say the biggest challenge wasn't the beginning of my career, because simply I was quite desperate. And don't get me wrong, desperation in this business is a very good motivator. Because if you've got no money, the rent is due and you need some food. Basically, that's the best motivator ever. You don't need Gary Vee for that.
That's basically, no, you just gotta eat.
Yeah, you just gotta eat. And you'll be homeless soon. So you don't need Gary Vee in that situation or any motivational speakers. So basically, you go for it. So at the beginning, I remember in the first, I think, two, three weeks, I gained 20 clients, which is not so bad. But obviously, the clients later on, they paid for one session, they moved, etc. So I was left with, I think, 8 clients total. But still, 8 clients after 3 weeks is quite okay. So I wasn't very struggling, let's say, at the beginning. The struggle came a bit later when a very smart word, client retention. So keeping the clients happy and making sure that they won't leave.
Okay.
Yeah, that was basically the biggest challenge for me, just keeping them, because it's a very thin line between giving a person a workout or a routine that you think they need versus giving them what they will enjoy. Let's say you've got a client, he's totally fucked up. Let's say posture is fucked up and he wants just CrossFit based circuits. He loves them. Okay. But you know, as a coach, that he'll basically break himself. He needs to get a bit more mobility here and there, a bit more stability here and there, get the technique right, get the breathing right, etc., etc. So that's the difference between, you know, you being happy versus client being happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's almost, so that's the biggest... giving the client, it's kind of giving the client what they want sometimes rather than what they need, because they might need the posterior stuff. They might need the squat test, but what they want is something else. And you have to sort of identify that and give them what they want. Otherwise, your client retention suffers, right?
Exactly. That was my biggest challenge back there. Now it's not anymore. But back there, when I started, that was the biggest, because I'm very stubborn. So that's why I always wanted to force what I think is the best for them without any compromise. And to be honest, I lost plenty of clients in my first year just because of that. And it was, you know, lesson learned, right?
Yeah. So was that one of the biggest lessons that you learned? Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. That was my biggest lesson.
Giving the client more of what they want.
Maybe not giving the client, but listen to client closely. Discuss all the program with them and listen to them. Because most PTs, they don't listen to their clients. They've got their niche, let's say, I don't know, Olympic lifting, circuit training, pad work. They don't listen to the clients. So, for example, we've got a PT that specializes in pad work, okay? Someone comes to them, okay, I want a muscle mass. Pad work is the best for it. I want fat loss, pad work. I want to run a marathon. Pad work will give you stamina. So this is a bit ridiculous. So they apply their niche to every single person. So they don't listen to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of why you're saying a lot of PTs go wrong. They don't really understand what the client wants. They try and push their niche or their interest on the client. And so their retention suffers and their business suffers.
I would say they understand, but they don't listen or they don't want to listen.
Okay. So like when we're talking about client retention and it being sort of one of the obstacles or one of the things that you were aware of in your business, did you have any sort of major low points throughout your career where you were just like struggling or in a bit of a hole that you're trying to get out of? I know you mentioned like before when we were training that you went to a studio for like a short period, you went out of a mainstream gym. And you didn't kind of like that sort of environment. Has there been any big low points for you?
Oh, plenty. For the first, if any of starting PTs are listening to this, for the first, I would say even 3 years, you will have downfalls. And that's normal because you're not recognized well enough to allow yourself for just smooth transition. And to be honest, even now, I've got some downfalls. And it's normal because every route to success or to developing a good business is never upright, straight. Sometimes even now I lose a client or something. It's not the big deal because I've got the resources now. I've got potential clients. I know what to do, which is, let's say, less dramatic. But going back to that previous question, in the first 3 years, you always have downfalls because people, usually when PT starts, they take pay as you go from clients. So the client comes, trains, pays at the end of the session. But then the problem starts when, because, you know, cash is good, right? So then the problem starts when the client reschedules or the client cancels. Second client cancels. And all of a sudden, at the end of the week, you're 200 quid down.
Yeah, so it can change very quickly.
Yeah, it can change very quickly because mostly people, clients, they don't like any contract. They don't like to commit. Yeah, so selling them packages is maybe not bad idea. It's good, very good idea, but it has less percentages than saying, for example, okay, you come to me, you train, you pay me at the end of the session, you're not coming in, you're not paying, etc. Because that gives them freedom and flexibility and they love it. But, and 100% they will take it. But then the problem is, can you keep them? And what agreement do you have? Like if they reschedule 24 hours before, do they have to pay? 48 hours before, do they have to pay? Or do they have to pay half or something like this? Or unless they reschedule in the same week, blah, blah. You know this.
Yeah. So I mean, the packages... Sorry, I was just going to interject a second. The packages are great for the personal trainer because you're getting that upfront commitment, you're getting the cash flow, but it's obviously a harder sell, right? And so the pay-as-you-go option is a good way to just tuck people in, make people feel comfortable and get them over the line, right? But then you've got people that can drop off a lot easier. But... Well, what's your experience with packages versus the pay-as-you-go option? How do you sort of navigate that situation?
I mean, now, at the minute, I'm only selling packages. And if I were to go back to my, like, you know, invent time machine, go back to my younger self, I would say, okay, pick maybe 3 to 5 clients pay-as-you-go. So you've got a regular income, but all the rest, direct debit. At the beginning of the month, and you sort it, because you know it's easier to tell someone, okay, 40 quid per session, whatever, versus 400 for a package. That's a big lump of money. So for some people, it's like, I'll think about it. The moment you hear, I'll think about it. Goodbye, you fucked up. So it's a bit more sexy to hear 40 quid, pay as you go, no strings attached. People go like, fuck yeah, I'm into that. But then you've got a problem and a lot of stress when they start rescheduling. And don't get me wrong, even now I've got maybe 4 clients that still go as pay as you go. And it's still kind of like, you know, it's good. It has its pros and cons. Yeah? Because it's like a bonus money.
Yeah. So in terms of maybe some of the mistakes that you see other personal trainers making, or even mistakes that you've made yourself and you've acknowledged them, like, can you talk about some of those that you maybe see regularly or you make yourself?
But when it comes to money or managing the clients or...
When it comes to just PTing in general, I mean, that's quite an open question, but... Is there sort of any common things where you see people falling short or mistakes that you've made in the past where you thought, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. I should have done it this way. And then you've acknowledged it now.
It's a very good question. I would say the same mistake when it comes to money. Giving people pay as you go or I've got one. Not charging for extra activities outside the gym. So for example, someone comes to me once a week or twice a week. In the past, I would give them diet plan maybe, a training plan. So a lot of homework for free. And I've noticed that a lot of PTs are doing the same. Look, if you're a PT, people are paying for your time. So if you're sitting at home writing a program, which usually takes 6-7 hours, if it's good, if it's like a powerlifting program, it can take even 3 days. The same with diet. If you're sitting at home, I write a lot of diet plans, and it usually takes me 2 to 3 days. So, you know, before, no one was paying me for that. And a lot of PTs are doing the same. They're not charging for additional work. And a client gets used to that. And then he wants more and more. Can be like, okay, in the middle of Saturday, on Monday I need a new plan. And then you need to write it because you told that person that you have to, you know, you're doing it for free.
Yeah. So they've got a big expectation of what you're offering because you're almost over delivering on certain aspects.
Yeah, of course.
Of the training, right?
Unless you've got like a package, because I've got package like this. So fair enough, you're paying me for 12 personal training sessions plus a diet plan plus, let's say, training program. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you paid for this. I'll give it to you. But, you know, most PTs, they don't do it, especially the new ones. They get so carried away because I was doing the same. I was so happy if I got a client 5 years ago or something, or 7 years ago, that if he agrees, I would always, even on a consultation, at the end of the consultation, I said, okay, it's £40 per session, but in that you've got my support 24/7. You can write, you can message me whenever you want. I will write a diet plan for you. I will literally wanted to give them everything I've got. Here's my car keys, blah, blah.
Just to get the business.
Yeah, exactly. Because then the person sees, oh, it's not just 40 quid for a session. It's this and this and this and that. And they're more likely to buy into you. Yeah. But then.
Yeah. So,
so you've got actually a client, but it's like you had three clients because he's consuming your time over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it all adds up. So if you've got multiple clients and you're doing all this extra work for all these clients, you're soon going to basically just eat into your own personal time, right?
Yeah,
and exactly. So what have you done to combat that then? So what's your strategy now and what do you do differently that you weren't doing before? Are you monetizing
basically
it?
Basically, like I created a menu. Yeah?
Mm.
So as in a restaurant. My menu looks like this. The biggest, the most expensive option is at the top, always. So it includes 16 training sessions, diet plan, a blood test in my clinic, and on the basis of that blood test, you get a diet plan, training program, 24/7 support, blah, blah. It's basically the most expensive one. And just below, you've got all the cheaper ones. Yeah, so training only packages, training plus nutrition packages, nutrition only packages, consultation, blood test consultation, nutritional consultation, plans, single session, double session, triple session, and all those kind of stuff. So it's, let's say, systematized, if there's a word.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got the highest price at the top, so you're basically price conditioning them. As soon as they see it, the really high price, crazy price, then they go down and it gets really cheap, right? And so all of a sudden everything else looks really affordable. So it's a selling tactic, right?
Yeah, the selling tactic. I've listened to a podcast that the restaurants usually put the most expensive wine at the top. So the less expensive wine actually looks very, very cheap just down below the most expensive one.
Yeah,
which is very fucking clever. Totally.
It is, right? It's very simple, very, very simple. But it plays tricks on the minds, and it gets people to sort of change their frame and change their perception of price, right? So let's just switch it up a little bit. I want to just dive into social media for a minute. I just want to ask you sort of what your take on social media is with your business, whether you actually even use it, whether you generate any business from it. How do you think it fits into your business? Has it changed over time? I don't know, just your general feel about social media and personal training.
social media, they're always good because I treat it more like, let's say, 15 to 20% of my overall energy goes to social media. So I'm mostly an offline client, which means basically I don't work online that much. Diet plans, yeah, sure. I've got maybe stationary, I've got 23 clients. Online, I've got 7 clients, regular clients. So I'm more offline looking at the statistics. So basically, 90% of my time and effort, maybe 80% of my time and effort goes to my offline clients, managing them, during in the gym, after the gym, etc. 20% to 50% goes into social media. So what I like is, for example, to do Insta stories and putting hashtags there just because so other people can see this. And, you know, I'm not giving that much energy and effort in it. It's more like fun, yet still I'm getting clients from them. Not very often. It may be once every 3-4 weeks, once every month, sometimes one every 2 months, but it's still a lead out of nowhere, out of doing probably nothing. So
yeah, just by uploading stories and just posting.
Yeah, exactly. Uploading stories, posts. Yeah, I would say just the stories, because I'm a bit busy to post every day Insta story post, Instagram post. So I base myself on Insta stories because they're fast. And I think Insta stories is the future because they're colorful, they're fast, and people don't like sitting and watching something for a long time. They just want to, you know, fast travel, let's say.
Yeah, got you. So in terms of like someone new coming into the industry, a new personal trainer, what would your advice be to them? Like, they've got these options available to them. They've got the social media, or they can just stick to doing lead generation in the gym. Like, what would your advice be? What would you say to those new personal trainers?
My first advice would be stay away from social media. Walk the floor as much as possible for the first 2-3 months. Because when people start, they start in a specific gym. Let's say our gym, the gym on Deansgate, yeah? Because I've did this with many PTs. You want your face to be recognized there. You want as much recognition as possible. You want people to know your name, to know who you are. You want to speak with as many people as you can possibly do. And this takes energy. So you shouldn't bother with social media. You definitely shouldn't have a part-time job. That's the most stupid thing to do as a personal trainer. When I hear a personal trainer says a part-time job, he's already screwed. Why? Because half of his energy goes to this part-time job. And then he comes after this part-time job to his another part-time job, which should be his business, and he's fucking tired. And people see that. And people will never buy into someone with low energy and that is tired. The same with social media. If you want to develop an online business, okay, do it later. Get at least a year or two experience offline. Because most PTs that are online are shit. Why? Because they're shit offline. They don't understand that you need some interaction with people. You need to see how people behave, how people move, how people have different issues with posture, how people behave, how people react to different exercises, what might be the problem. So my advice is step-by-step guide to be a PT. Get to the gym. Get yourself recognized. Speak to as many people as possible. Get as many clients as possible. Pick the way you want to do it, fine. But get as many people as possible. Be an offline PT with plenty of results for a year or two. Then, if you fancy, go online, fully online even. But you need to have at least at least 1 or 2 years experience offline just to see how to deal with people. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And then like in this process of building the offline business and even branching out into other projects and doing the online stuff, like how important would you say sort of mindset is to all this, and how important is mindset to you in your work?
I would say it's a very bold statement. I used to hire PTs for the gym, for lifestyle fitness before it was transferred to the gym.
Yeah.
So for me, it wasn't that important how much do they know. If they knew basics, and I've seen that they're coachable, that was okay. But I wanted to see this fire. I wanted to see this passion. My one of the key tests I did on the interview was to get people on the gym floor, and they had a couple of minutes to speak to 10 people. The faster they did it, the better. So I could see that they've got no problems approaching people, no problem getting into conversation, that they smile a lot, that they're very approachable, and they're very with a lot of positive energy. So if I got a person that knows so-so, but is very approachable, very happy, very bright, you know, can approach literally everyone. And then a PhD in nutrition, blah, 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 etc., strength and conditioning coach, Olympic weightlifting, medalist, whatever, but he's grumpy as fuck, then I would choose the person that is less qualified, but a bit more approachable. Because you can always learn not fitness, let's say. You can always learn how to be a PT. You can always learn anatomy. You can always go for a course. You can always learn Olympic lifting. You can always learn nutrition. You've got so many sources, YouTube, courses, co-workers even. I always help other if they struggle. So you can always do that. But if you're grumpy because that's your nature, you cannot change that. Do you understand me?
100%. And I totally agree with you, because I think it's just as important in my work as well with the mindset stuff. You've got to be able to pick yourself up and get the job done. There's no point knowing everything in the world, but not having the attitude to actually go out and implement it and put it into action, right? And that's really just the mindset. So that's what's like the longer term goals for you, Serge? Have you got like sort of future plans with this business? You're PTing at the moment. You've got a very healthy business. What are your future plans? Like, what are your future goals?
My future goals is carry on what I'm doing now, get as many help, as many people as possible. Because, you know, someone, I think it was Nick Mitchell, the owner of Ultimate Performance, said, if you're getting into this business for money, you're in the wrong business. Because if you want money, go and do accountancy. But if you're in this business for good money, but you also want to help people, that's a business for you. And that was even an Instagram story of his. And that really, I remember that till this day now. Because look, your money depends on how hard you work, how many clients you've got, and it basically depends on people, which is good. But you won't make millions from that, which is also good. PT business is for someone who A, wants to earn good money, and B, wants to help people. If you're only into getting, you know, gaining money, sorry, that's not the business for you. Fuck off. Okay? So for me, the most important is helping as many people as possible and getting as much results as possible to build up the recognition. And the money is always a byproduct. Always. Money will come. You're doing a great job. You're giving results. People will pay you either way. So you don't have to stress about the money.
Awesome. I think that's probably like a very profound way to draw this episode to the end. So I just want to say thank you so much for jumping on this podcast with me. It means a lot. And I hope everyone listening really enjoyed it. If anyone wants to find you, like, where can they find you? Have you got an Instagram handle that you want to share? Or we'll put the links in the posting anyway, but where can people find you?
People can find me in person in the gym, Manchester, which is on Deansgate in Town Centre, 253 Deansgate, M34EN.
Awesome. And then have you got any Instagram or Facebook groups that you want to direct people to? Or?
Yeah, can we put the links somewhere?
Yeah, I'll stick the links in it. Don't worry, I'll put those in. So thank you so much, Serge. I really appreciate you joining us on this podcast. And for everyone listening, it's 10:30 p.m. here, so we're doing the late shift, aren't we? So thank you so much for doing this. Really appreciate it. I know you've got a really busy schedule. And I will see you in the gym soon.
Thanks for tuning into the show. I hope you enjoyed it, guys. If you did, head over to your favorite app and leave us a short review. I'd really appreciate that. And if you wanted to learn more about our products and services, head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted an awesome website built for your coaching business, head over to our partner company, sevectormedia.com. That's all from me. See you soon.